Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated podcast. The Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated podcast is brought to you by Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations. For all of your travel needs, big or small, give our friends Beth and Price at Acker Travel Company a call. Hope everyone is having a great Wednesday so far. I'm your host, Matt Ray. It's been a minute since I hopped on a regular podcast with y'all, but that's set to change. The Volunteer Country podcast is set to air close to daily moving forward. And as always, we will focus on Tennessee athletics and recruiting, along with any other interesting sports topics from across the country. We will take weekly questions in a mailbag edition and eventually, keyword there now, eventually start taking some calls for the podcast. We want to hear from you guys as much as you guys want to hear from us. We want to talk recruiting. We want to interact in that aspect with all of you. We want to hear where your thoughts are on the team. So really looking forward to when we can work that feature in, just some kinks to work out along the way. And as always, I will be routinely joined by the Volunteer Country staff, as well as some other exciting guests for you guys to hear from. Today, we will start the show with some recruiting coverage, and then I will be joined by Jack Foster, who is in Hoover, covering the SEC baseball tournament for us, as well as 2022 Tennessee safety signing Jordan Thomas, who is set to move in the not-so-distant future. There's a massive weekend upcoming on Rocky Top, to say the least. Maybe the biggest weekend that I can recall since I've been covering recruiting is by far the biggest weekend of the Josh Heupel era, regardless of if Tennessee comes out of this weekend with a commitment, silent commitments, whatever they come out of this weekend with. I think when we get to December and February, we will look back and say that this Memorial Day weekend is one that helped shape this Tennessee class. I think that's pretty easy to say. I think they have so many of their top targets here together. You're going to see guys on this list that end up in Tennessee's class. It's going to be instrumental for Tennessee this weekend to show well. And, you know, to this point, there's no reason to think that they won't, as they have at every single turn so far. The staff has really put in a lot of work this spring on the road with the evaluation period. Obviously not able to talk to recruits during that time, but just getting out, seeing them, evaluating, continuing, you know, to have success in getting guys to campus is what's so key. And it's a massive weekend coming up. It would be impossible to break down every visitor that's coming in one podcast. It may be impossible to break down every visitor that's coming in the format that I have planned, which is to break it down over the next three podcasts, today, Thursday, and Friday. But today we're going to start with the headliners. It's what everyone wants to hear about. These are the headliners in my opinion, and my opinion only. I think you could go down this list and get down to, you know, 10 or 15 guys down the list and see the importance, you know, for this class with those guys. That speaks volumes to what Tennessee has going on this weekend for their Memorial Day bash. For me, it starts with elite offensive lineman Francis Maligoa. IMG standout. Tennessee had a chance to evaluate him. Glenn Ellerby and those guys were in Tampa for IMG spring game. Everything fits there. You know, he is as elite as it gets. Not sure where he ends up projecting at the college level. He could be an elite road grading guard, but he has the, you know, athleticism and the length and the punch to play tackle. So a guy that's very interesting, could fit in a lot of ways in this class, where I think Tennessee wants to get and has to get multiple top-tier tackles. So Maligoa obviously fits that mold. As we reported earlier in the week, he will be on campus this weekend. Should be a multi-day unofficial visit. And it's just so huge to get him here. This is a guy that Tennessee didn't have any traction with until Nico committed. And then all of a sudden, the Vols are, you know, there's an opening. He has interest in playing with Nico. They hit it off on a visit at Miami. They knew each other from their time together and some time together in California. There's a bond between those two guys already, even though they haven't been around each other a lot. And then this weekend, Nico coming to town. You don't want that focus in everything we talk about to be with him. But he obviously is the true headliner of this event, the elite quarterback, number three player in the country, regard kind of wherever you look. But, you know, Malagoa has an interest in blocking for Nico, playing with Nico, seeing what Tennessee has to offer. He's clicked very well with Glenn Ellerbe. Credit him for when that door opened, really kicking it down and building some momentum there, getting him to campus. Now, Malagoa has come out and publicly said that he's going to make a list cut sooner than later. It's probably going to five. Those five are going to be the ones that get the official visits for him. So, yeah, it's huge for Tennessee to get him to campus this weekend to show well. Obviously, anything can happen. It would expect Tennessee to show well, and I would expect Tennessee to be in that top five when the time comes. The Vols have too many things working in their favor right now. He likes what he's hearing. He likes the idea of being the guy, the cornerstone of the offensive line class, which he'd probably be that pretty much anywhere that he went. But here at Tennessee, they've lacked that elite offensive tackle for the last couple of cycles. So a guy that can come in and truly be that elite offensive line piece. And Tennessee has some other huge recruiting pieces here around him this weekend. But Francis Malagoa, I think, is the second headliner, just because you're getting him here unofficially. So a big weekend to show well, continue the momentum you have with him, his first look at Tennessee's campus. So just so many things there. You're going to get to spend one-on-one time with Nico, one-on-one time with the coaches. And then we flip, you know, we don't have to flip far, though. We're staying on the offensive line. We're staying in the Tampa area. We're staying at Clearwater International Academy. Lucas Simmons, massive offensive tackle, guy that Tennessee loves. He has a case to be the top offensive tackle in the nation. Just some freaky length and traits. The Vols are really battling here. Big official visit for him will be his second of the slate. He's been to Oklahoma State. He will go to Tennessee. He'll go to USC. He'll go to Florida State. Then he will go to Florida. The Gators, a team that for me, I was ready to count out a couple, maybe a month or so back. And just based off Simmons' comments, he had a visit over there that didn't go so great. And then they work him and get him back to campus, and they show him, you know, how much of a priority he is for him. And they've done a really good job in that recruitment. USC has done a really good job in that recruitment. There's some serious appeal there. In Florida State, you know, Mike Norvell's program has some questions to answer on the field this fall, no doubt. But they have done an excellent job of getting Lucas Simmons to campus multiple times and recruiting him heavily. But Tennessee right here has a chance to make a move. It looked like for a while the Vols were going to be able to be the only school to get the whole family on campus for an official visit. We'll see if that still holds out. Doesn't look like it will. But they will be getting him and his family on campus for an official visit this weekend. So a multi-day official visit for him. A really good chance for him to, you know, have a chance to meet other offensive line targets, something that's important to him, something that's important to a lot of these guys. Elite guys want to play with elite guys. They want to know who's going to be a part of this class. So when you look at the list and say, oh, there's too many guys, there, you know, no, there's not. That is a good thing in my opinion. But he'll be here with Malagoa. They know each other. They, you know, I think like the idea of playing with each other. He's met Nico. He met Nico here during his unofficial about a month and a half back. So they had a chance to hit it off. Nico's really working all these guys. So, you know, that's a big selling piece for Tennessee there. Another offensive lineman that Tennessee has on an official visit that I think they're continuing to gain traction on, still a pretty top battle though, is Bryson Sanders. The in-state prospect from Baylor School in Chattanooga will be on an official visit. Wasn't originally slated to take an official visit to Tennessee. Didn't look like he was going to. The Vols decided, no, hey, let's get you up here on one. We know there's familiarity. I think that came from a sense of how hard the other competition was coming for him. I've had multiple Oklahoma insiders reach out to me this week alone wanting to know if I know anything on Bryson Sanders, you know, that Oklahoma staff really wants to get him in. LSU's been probably Tennessee's stiffest competition. Ole Miss laying very quiet in this one, but I would not count them out yet. We'll see which direction LSU goes on the offensive line, how that official visit goes. But Tennessee's regained some momentum in this recruitment, continuing to work it hard. This weekend's going to be very important. Sanders is probably one of the highest IQ offensive linemen I've ever covered. He shows that at every stop, at everything he does. He's impressed Tennessee coaches. He impressed coaches across the country with his IQ, ability to retain information, can play center, can play guard at the next level. Tennessee believes he can play some tackle at the next level. He has some real twitch that these guys like. So he's a guy that can do a lot of things. We'll see where he is coming out of the official visit. But Tennessee has connections in this one that seem to be working well in their favor. Tennessee went to Baylor School earlier this month and evaluated him again. So another guy they've had a chance to lay eyes on. Of course, again, can't talk to, you know, prospects during that time. But Alex Golish, Glenn Ellerby there, have a chance to lay eyes on him and see what he's doing. And, you know, he continues to impress. Then you have the fact that his dad played with Glenn Ellerby at Middle Tennessee State in the 90s. So Tennessee has connections working there. He's comfortable with guys on this team. He's comfortable with guys on this roster. So Tennessee has a chance to push themselves back up into the lead for Bryson Sanders, where everyone really thought they were coming out of the winter. So a big weekend visitor there in Bryson Sanders. Four-star offensive lineman Ion Reed will be in town, a guy that we'll get his first look at Tennessee. Not a lot to say about Reed. He hasn't talked about a lot, but he will, you know, be a guy that will probably be able to have all of his questions answered this weekend. We'll see where Tennessee is coming out of that one. But anytime you get an official visitor on campus, you know that a staff, you know, really wants you. So that's, you know, another guy that we'll watch closely coming out of the weekend. We'll be interested to see where he's at with Tennessee. You know, they've worked in that recruitment. You know, he's got several schools recruiting him hard. So we'll see where Tennessee is coming out of the weekend there. But a guy that can do a lot of different things, has some positional versatility, and that's something this staff really covets. So a huge offensive line class, you know, in this weekend. Some other potential visitors, Wilkin Formby could be in town. We'll see where he's at. He's starting to schedule official visits, but if Tennessee can get him back to campus for an unofficial visit, it would be huge. And then, you know, I think we'll flip script to the defensive side of the football in official visitor terms. We confirmed earlier this week that Vic Burley, the elite defensive lineman out of Warner Robins, Georgia, who has a case to arguably be the top defensive lineman in this class, will be in town, and he will be on an official visit. Now, you know, this Tennessee staff, they love to get guys in for that last visit. Unfortunately, with Burley, it couldn't happen that way. This is a big boy battle. I mean, that's pretty much all you can say about it. Ohio State's in the mix. I think they probably trail. Michigan State's in the mix. I think they probably trail. And then up near the top, and I think this pecking order has changed a few times, you have Georgia, Clemson, and Tennessee. So some great position coaches, some great programs with rich history there at the positions battling for Vic Burley. This is a big visit for Tennessee. He's continued to click with Rodney Garner. He is undoubtedly their top defensive line target. I think Tennessee's going to go the distance for this one. I don't think, regardless of if Burley commits elsewhere in the fall, that Tennessee's going to say, you know what, let's scrap it. Let's go, you know, to number two on the board. I don't think that's the case. I think Vic Burley will continue to be pursued by Tennessee until he signs his national letter of intent somewhere. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see if Tennessee can take this first official visit, blow him out of the water, and try to ride that wave through the rest as he works that in on a tight schedule. But, you know, this is a big visit. You know, Tennessee needed to get it. It's one of those where I think you don't want to miss out on getting him here for an official. Not that Tennessee would have. I think he would have found time in his schedule, but you get him here when you can get him here. Rodney Garner, one of the best closers in the game. We saw it last cycle with Tyree West. I just talked to a Florida State insider at the Elite 11 last weekend in Nashville. And kind of just – he mentioned how the Florida State staff was blown away that Tyree West was going elsewhere. They thought it was over, and you know, they wrote Rodney Garner off, and then all of a sudden, you know, Tyree West is committed and signed to Tennessee. So it's huge to get Vic Burley here this weekend. His connection with his staff is huge. They've continued to work on him and really push to stay in this battle. Tennessee has staying power in this battle, in my opinion. So a big weekend coming up for Vic Burley. A commitment that I want to touch on getting back is Ethan Davis. He announced he'll take his only official visit to Tennessee in June. That's a good sign for Tennessee. They've been thrilled to get Davis's commitment, you know, back in the winter, you know, coming around the time that he won the state championship there. But they said all along, like, this kid may be the best tight end in the country, and we're going to have to battle for him. And since then, he's continued to pick up offers. He's continued to hear from schools. But basically, he's saying that Tennessee's going to get that only official visit. He's locked in with Tennessee. That's where he wants to be. That's a big deal. That's a big deal for Tennessee to get him back on campus for another unofficial visit and, you know, continue to make him a priority. When you have a guy like him that can come in, play in line, or flex out in the slot and do so many things as a pass catcher and create so many mismatches for a defense by stretching a defense, by, you know, if you put him on a linebacker, he's got the frame to body him. If you put him on a safety or a linebacker, for that matter, he can run by you. He can body both of them. So you have to bring an extra DB on the field to cover him. So that's the kind of dynamic that he could create for Tennessee's offense moving forward. Comes from a really, really good high school at Collins Hill over in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Just coming off state championship, played with Sam Horn and Travis Hunter last year. He'll be the focal point of the offense this year and have a chance to really, really shine. Elsewhere on the defensive side of the football, a guy that I forgot to touch on that is coming in, has been looking forward and hoping to get here this weekend, is Sean Davion Bradley, the elite edge rusher from Missouri. You know, this is a guy that Tennessee communicated with frequently, and when they pulled the trigger, they went all in. They've recruited him hard. Mike Eckler, familiar with the area, working it hard. Bradley loves what he hears from these guys, excited to meet them in person for the first time. So a big deal to get him here unofficially, as he has a lot of schools courting him along the way. The Texas schools, USC, you know, those top schools really working hard on him. So for him to get here unofficially and have a chance to get back officially later on for a game day, and he's kind of reiterated that's the plan. He likes what he's heard from Tennessee. He has a good relationship with Jack Luttrell, likes what he's heard about Nico and things like that since he's committed. So Mike Eckler, you know, really no surprise. You see his energy, you see what he does. He has Tennessee in the running for another elite edge and what could be another elite edge class. You know, in the SEC, you have to have those pass rushers. Last cycle signed Josh Joseph, one of my favorite prospects in the entire class. I think immensely underrated. James Pierce, you know, comes in. And then this cycle, we've already got Caleb Herring committed. And you have a chance to add another really solid edge where both of those pass rushers coming are truly probably elite. So really stacking that room up. Is Eckler right now has a chance to add even more to it if they can build with Bradley and win out for him down the stretch. So a big deal there. We'll touch on some of these other guys coming in. The last headliner for me, and again, I say these are the headliners for me, probably not everybody else, but we'll touch on this one. That's my last headliner. We'll touch on some more of these guys that are important that are coming in and are confirmed for tomorrow. But for me, another guy that's a headliner, I think he's probably the most underrated prospect here this weekend. And he's, I don't know what he is on 247 and on 3 and everything like that at this point. I think he's probably closer to 4-star status at this point. He should be. If he's not, I think he ends up a top 100 player when it's all said and done. You can write that down now if you want, but is C.J. Allen, the linebacker from Lamar County Comprehensive. When you hear the word eraser put with linebacker, you should get excited. And this is a guy that is an eraser. He has the frame. He has the speed. He has the length. He has the IQ. Really, really good football player. And I think Tennessee needs to add a linebacker like C.J. Allen in this class. credit Brian Jean-Marie for doing excellent work here. Allen really likes what he's heard. He'll be back to Tennessee for an unofficial this weekend, and then he'll be back for an official down the road. So another big momentum boost there for Tennessee. But this is a guy that can do so many things. He's still somewhat raw, but just the measurables in the football instincts and that type of thing is so huge for CJ Allen. So for Tennessee to get him back, they're battling Oklahoma and Georgia for certain in this recruitment. Other schools continuing to work in the mix, but it's a big time battle for a guy like CJ Allen right now. And for Tennessee to get him back unofficially and have another chance to really show him how much of a priority he is. He's came out of every visit very high on the ball, so shouldn't expect anything less this weekend. But for Tennessee to get him back is another, I'm not going to say victory, but it's another big momentum booster in his recruitment for Tennessee as he continues to get familiar with this staff. But that's going to kind of end the 2023 recruiting coverage for this episode. Coming up, we'll be joined by 2022 signee Jordan Thomas. The safety has transformed his body even more over the summer. He's getting set to enroll. He's excited to share with you guys what he has done to get to this point, what he's looking forward to on Rocky Top, and what his expectations are. We will hear from him next.
Now we're joined by 2022 Tennessee safety signee Jordan Thomas out of Montgomery Catholic in Alabama. Jordan, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good. I know the excitement level is probably pretty high for you right now, getting ready to finally get to move into your future home on Rocky Top soon. Just tell everybody about that. What's the excitement level like to finally see this process come full circle? You've signed, and now you're ready to get on campus and get to work. What's the excitement level like with that?
Well, the excitement level is very high. You know, I've been waiting for this moment. Of course, I'm leaving a lot of my friends and, you know, family and stuff behind in my hometown, but they're all wishing me success, and they know I'm going to do great. And I know that I'm going to do great when I get in the system and get acclimated with everything. So I'm just excited.
We talked about this as your recruitment, you know, went through a lot of different chapters. You were committed to Mississippi State at one point for a while. Tennessee's continuing to press for you, showing you how much of a priority that you are. You really were diligent in the process. But now here we are at the end of May, going to be close to the 1st of June when you get moved in here. Kind of just reflecting on that overall high school recruitment process. Do you feel like you got everything right in terms of the way you handled that, and why was Tennessee the right fit for you?
Yeah, I feel like I didn't rush into anything. I didn't rush into the choosing the school. Of course, I was committed to Mississippi State, but that didn't work out. And Tennessee just was always pushing and coming after me, which showed their love for me. So the coaches never stopped calling me. We never stopped communicating, and they never stopped checking up on me. So when I took my visit, I think it just solidified it. You know, I always knew that when Coach Heupel came, the stuff he was preaching and the new coaching staff, I believe in what they're doing. And I just believe, and I feel like everyone sees that the program is turning around in the right direction.
Absolutely. Going into your freshman season here, you're going to get a chance to work in special teams and try to find your niche in the rotation. What are your personal expectations for your freshman season on Rocky Top, Jordan?
Really, my main priority is just to be a great teammate and to, you know, do whatever my coaches need me to do. Coach Martinez, Coach Banks, I know they're going to develop me and put me in positions to, you know, make great plays, which is what I want to do. And so my real priority is just being a great teammate. And where my personal goal is to win freshman All-American, is to be a freshman All-American.
Absolutely. When you talk about, you know, those guys putting you in the right spot and to do things, the way that they do things on the back end of that defense creates so many opportunities, especially in terms of ball hawking for safeties like yourself. What is it that you think you're bringing to this defense on Rocky Top?
Smartness, aggressiveness, leadership, I just think I'm a complete player. Tackling, speed, I have the size, I have it. I think I have it all. So I'm just working on perfecting that completeness.
You talk about having the size. I think everybody in the Tennessee Twitter world has seen the pictures of you, the new added muscle mass definition from end of season for you in December to now. What's the weight? How much weight have you increased?
I'm still at 190. I range between, you know, one, it depends. Like, I'll be like 190 one day, 191, you know, just staying in that range, 190 range. But I'm not really gaining any weight. I'm just increasing my muscle mass and my definition, like you said. I know when I get to campus, they might, you know, try to get me up to like the 200 pounds and stuff. So I'm not really worrying about focus on gaining weight. And Coach Banks told me not to worry about that either. So really, I'm just working and, you know, increasing my muscle mass, you know, like you said.
So when you finish high school season, obviously it becomes you doing it on your own now, as you have, you know, really 6 months until you get to Tennessee. Just talk, what's the workout regimen been like for you? What kind of, you know, time have you been putting into that side of things? Because it's pretty evident that there's been a lot.
Yeah, so I'm still working out with my high school team. Right now, everybody has done exams and stuff, and we're out of school. I graduated yesterday. So at 7 a.m. every day. So I go to them, and after school, after 3 p.m., I would go to my trainer, and we would train from like 4 to 5:30. So I'll be working out twice a day, and I still do stuff at home. So I have like dumbbells and some workout pieces here. So, you know, whenever I'm you know, bored or I want to get it in, I'll pick them up and start getting to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Jordan, we appreciate your time. We're going to get you out of here with just a little fun ending, a little bit of this or that. I'm going to give you two choices. You tell me which one is for Jordan Thomas. So we'll start with a very easy one, hot dog or hamburger?
Hamburger.
Powerade or Gatorade?
Gatorade.
Xbox or PlayStation?
PS4.
Eric Berry or Harrison Smith?
Eric Berry.
All right. I knew that was going to be it. Jordan, we appreciate you for joining us. Excited to see you get up to Rocky Top later this week. I know you're excited. We'll get you out of here now. Just final message to the Tennessee fan base before you get to Rocky Top and start doing this thing full time.
I just can't wait to get to Rocky Top. I know the fans are supporting me. They're behind me 100%. My teammates are behind me. We're going to do great things on Rocky Top.
Thank you, Jordan. That was 2022 Tennessee signee Jordan Thomas. Next, we'll be joined by Jack Foster from Hoover covering the SEC baseball tournament as Tennessee will hopefully take the field at some point later today, weather permitting.
Now we're joined by Jack Foster, who will be the host and co-host of this show with me over the summer. Jack is in Hoover covering the SEC baseball tournament for us, as I mentioned minutes ago. Jack, first, let's just jump right into this. I think what everybody wants to know, what's the weather like in Hoover right now?
Well, Matt, it's raining just a little bit right now. It's not as bad as it was last night, but it's still a little rainy. There's about a two-hour gap, I'd say, around 1 to 2 here in Hoover where it's not going to be raining. I would expect thunderstorms, you know, in the late afternoon and on into the night. I'm not optimistic about many games, if any, being played today in Hoover. You know, obviously we hope that the guys can get out on the field and get some baseball played today, but the weather looks pretty rough.
Jack turned meteorologist for a second there. Now we'll go to Tennessee beat writer Jack. I think the biggest question here is, and like you said, there may not be a single game played, but what does it look like right now as we're recording this podcast on Wednesday morning? What does it look like right now that the expected first pitch time is for Tennessee if they're able to play today? And, you know, obviously there's probably going to be you know, setbacks. But as it stands right now at 11:30 Eastern time, what does it look like the first pitch is going to be for Tennessee?
Okay, so right now the word is 8 Central time for Tennessee first pitch, although the first game today got delayed a little bit, the Auburn game. So there's been no word about like a new official first pitch time. It's still 8 Central, but I would almost guarantee that doesn't happen. We did see Ole Miss and Vanderbilt get a really late start last night. I think it was around, 10 Central they started. So that could be the case for Tennessee tonight, if the weather permits. But, yeah, right now it's 8 Central, Tennessee versus Vanderbilt, although I would expect later first pitch or possibly tomorrow, like we said earlier.
Yeah, so right now the hope is sometime before midnight for first pitch.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. They almost didn't start until today, and Tennessee didn't know officially who their opponent was going to be until today. They knew it was going to be one of those two. We now know that it's Vanderbilt after they prevailed over Ole Miss last night. Jack, this is a matchup with a lot of familiarity. Tennessee went to Nashville and made a statement against the Commodores early in the season. Vanderbilt is in day two of the tournament now, Tennessee in day one. What does the pitching matchup look like tonight?
Okay, so Tony Vitello said on his pre-Hoover media availability that he's going to start Blade Tidwell for the first game. That's not like set in stone, but that's what he's thinking of rolling with. And it makes sense to me, considering he started Dolander, Beam, and Burns last weekend. So Tidwell was the one left out, so he's going to get the day one start in Hoover. And he's going to be going up against Chris McElvain from Vanderbilt, one of their best pitchers all season. He pitched against Tennessee, had a little – he wasn't the sharpest, you could say. I think he gave up 6 runs and about 4.2 innings pitched. I'm expecting Blade versus McElvain. McElvain's still a heck of a pitcher. He's been one of the better SEC pitchers this year. Obviously, Tidwell, you know how that season's gone for him. Coming off the injury to start, has not looked – like Blade Tidwell, you could say, for the most of the season. But he's coming off his best outing, Matt, last weekend, retiring all 9 batters he faced in the last 3 innings against Mississippi State to get that series win on Friday night. So he's coming off, like I said, the best performance of the season. Maybe he's really found his groove with Tennessee this year, and this day one start could go well for the Vols.
Yeah, absolutely. I think going into this tournament, like you said, the choice to rest Tidwell last week was pretty evident that he was going to be the day one guy this week. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way the seeding was looking at the time. You knew you were going to get Vanderbilt. You knew you were going to get Ole Miss. Had familiarity with both of those teams, having a chance to play them both early in the season. And when you have that day one bye, you have the opportunity to roll out your whole rotation generally. But you really have the chance to get an ace in there. And these are two really good programs that probably aren't up to the standards of what they expected early in the season when those matchups took place. But they're two programs that can beat you night in, night out, and put up a lot of runs. Vanderbilt has tremendous bats still. So where do you see Vanderbilt being able to have some success against Tennessee tonight?
Well, their pitching staff is good. Like it's good. It doesn't live up to Tennessee, but it's going to be good. And we've seen Tennessee's bats go cold. It's semi rarely, but we've seen it happen this year, and it could happen against Vanderbilt because their pitching is pretty good. McElvain being a good starter, but also their bats at the top of the lineup are pretty good. It's not like these guys are big power hitters in Enrique Bradfield or Spencer Jones, but when you compare them to the Vols, especially, but they are still good bats, and they're great outfielders, especially Enrique Bradfield, a big league outfielder that guy is. We saw him make a heck of a catch against Ole Miss last night. He's just really talented, and he leads the league in stolen bases. He has more stolen bases than I believe 5 or 6 SEC teams as a whole. So this dude's a stud, and he was a stud last year, and he's only gotten better. So the top of that Vanderbilt lineup, obviously Bradfield being the leadoff guy, is good, but Matt, we're kind of, I feel like I'm almost trying to find things that Tennessee's going to struggle with, because frankly, they just haven't struggled with much this year against anybody.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely not. It's one of those things that's weird. In terms of baseball, it seems like maybe a guy or two goes cold, but never, you know, down the list, the whole bats are cold. I mean, even in the games that Tennessee's lost, they've had a chance to win. You know,
right, yes.
That's in baseball, you can say, well, you always have a chance to win whatever, but the thing about Tennessee is every game that they've lost has been a highly contested matchup, and it seemed like, you know, even when they're playing bad, they're still really good. And the other teams that have been good teams have had to scrap to get over top of Tennessee when Tennessee's playing bad. So, you know, I agree. It is kind of tough to try to find things to pinpoint. So, yeah, Jack, I mean, that leads me into my next question here. The overall expectation for Tennessee this week moving forward is to win this thing, right?
Yes, it absolutely should be. I mean, there is a bigger picture with hosting regionals and supers, and of course the Omaha run they're probably going to have, but the expectation should absolutely be to come out of Hoover with an SEC tournament victory, first time in 27 years. You know, they were close last year, one game away from winning it, obviously lost to Arkansas, but expectation should be for these top-ranked Vols to win this thing. I mean, they've been the best team all year, and this is just another box they got to check.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know going into the night, at some point, whenever these two teams get on the field, Vanderbilt's got a bad taste in their mouth from what Tennessee did to them early in the year. Tennessee's probably still holding a little bit of a grudge over the bad incident. these are two teams that don't like each other. We're going to hear the Vandy Whistler for 3+ hours probably. But is tonight's game the biggest threat for Tennessee in terms of just the fact that so many people are, you know, or not so many people, but so many things are kind of a work in progress. You don't know when you're getting the first pitch. The weather's bad. Vanderbilt's a good baseball team. Is Vanderbilt's game tonight the biggest threat to Tennessee, or is there another team throughout this weekend that's a bigger threat to Tennessee overall?
No, I don't think you can say Vanderbilt's the biggest threat as just far as team goes. I mean, Arkansas has been really good this year. To me, they've been the second best SEC team. Now they had a really, really bad end to the regular season, but who knows, that could give them more fire. And we know that no matter how much Tennessee and Vanderbilt dislike each other, Tennessee and Arkansas baseball dislike each other more. So, you know, Arkansas is going to be fired up if they happen to play Tennessee as well as the Vols. But still, I would say Arkansas is the biggest threat. You can't overlook LSU and Texas A&M. Both of those teams have gotten hot at the end of the year. And those two teams, Tennessee didn't play this year. So, you know, they have familiarity with Vanderbilt. They have familiarity with, you know, almost every other SEC team other than the three I've mentioned, Arkansas, LSU, Texas A&M. They have not played those three teams this year. To me, those are the biggest threats, with Arkansas being at the top of the list. And, you know, teams aside, the weather has to be a threat to Tennessee and everybody. I mean, you go back to Tennessee's only series loss of the year. It was in Lexington, and the weather was awful. It was just so bad. You know, the delays happened. Every single game had bad weather. So maybe there's something to that with Tennessee and the weather. I don't think that you could confidently say there is, but I think the weather is just as much of a threat to anybody being able to get in the rhythm as well as teams they could face.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to do it for this podcast. Jack will be in Omaha all week as long as the Vols are. You can find
him Omaha.
Hoover.
Yeah.
He'll be in Omaha most likely as well. He is an Omaha production intern, as I'm looking at his Twitter feed here to tell you his name. You can find him at Jack Foster TV. He'll have live updates from Hoover all week long. He'll have media availability from Tony Vitello and the Tennessee Players when they are available, when they get to play. You can find us at Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated on Twitter and Facebook, si.com/college/Tennessee on the internet. For Jack Foster, I'm Matt Ray. Thanks for joining along.